Welcome to the Inside Radio Program. My name is Scooter, and as promised, we are going to have the Bin Laden joke line tonight. The number here is... And we're going to be taking your Bin Laden jokes. So call them in, man. Let me explain to you. Hold on. Let me explain something. Let me explain what a joke is, okay? A joke is an attempt to be funny, or it is funny. And it's usually funny at the end. We call that a punchline. Or it could just be something extremely ironic, a phrase or comment that's very ironic. Also, it could be a comment on a joke that's already been made. We would call that, I guess, an addendum. So anyway, I'm just gonna be putting you all on hold, and then I'll just put you on as you come in. So let me start off with my Bin Laden mailbag. I've been getting some stuff in my Bin Laden mailbag. Let me see. Betty Lou from Tulsa, Oklahoma says, "Wake up and smell the virgins." Could you imagine? Could you imagine having 72 virgins for a freaking eternity? You know, a bunch of teenagers running around.
Can I have an iPhone? Why won't you let me wear one makeup? Ew, don't touch me.
Yeah, 72 virgins. Nice punch. But okay, I have 10 messages that say, "I don't believe it until I see the long-form death certificate." It's not bad. Christine from Palomar writes, "Damn, Scooter, talk about a bad place to hide out." Well, see, okay, that's a pun about a bad. Talk about a bad place to hang out.
All right.
You see? All right.
You want to be on the air?
Carl writes in and says, "Hey, why stop at one mansion? Let's roll." Must be Karl Marx. Jim McGuire heard this on Fox News. "Black man responsible for death of elderly foreigner."
Nice. That's the best one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I got some from David Feldman here. CIA says Osama was addicted to Coke and Pepsi. That's right. I did. He had a full of...
He did. He had a lot of it.
He loved anything that murdered more Americans than Al-Qaeda.
That's right.
Okay, line one, you're on the air. This is the Bin Laden joke line.
Right. The new drink, the Bin Laden. Two shots and a splash of water.
Two shots and a splash of water. Okay. I got it. All right, right. It took me a minute. That's a good...
See ya.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's see here. Drop that. All right. We're doing the Bin Laden joke line. Number is... Call in with your Bin Laden jokes. Back to the Bin Laden mailbag here. Let's see. I like this one. It's from David Feldman. Bin Laden was buried at sea, or as the CIA calls it, enhanced waterboarding.
Did you do the Jesus joke yet?
No, I haven't done the Jesus joke. I gotta save that one, man. I gotta save it. What did Barry... Oh, Barry wrote... Barry Crimmins, friend of the show, he wrote, "Wow, it sure is a bad night for virgins." What else we got here? Bin Laden joke line. Call in. I know you got a million of them. Come on. They don't have to be clean. They just have to be FCC. And, all right. Line one, you're on the Bin Laden joke line.
All right, I have a Bin Laden joke.
Go for it.
Okay, so a guy comes in, he says, "Hey, I caught a real leprechaun. I killed him. I killed him with a rock." And then the guy says, "Oh, yeah, well, where's the proof?" Well, the guy says, "Oh, well, that's the problem. I forgot to take a picture, and I dumped the body in the ocean soon after killing it. Sorry." All right, bye.
That's got some irony to it. Yeah, I think I posted one about that. What was it? Oh yeah, that he was going to be buried according to Islamic traditions, which meant he was going underground before the sun sets. So that meant that somebody that looked just like Bin Laden was going to be buried before the sun goes down. But I guess it was him.
Oh yeah,
I believe everything the government says. Let's see, what do we got? Frank writes in from Arkansas. "Scooter, I just saw some news geek on the TV say, 'We all knew it was coming, but this was very sudden.' Yeah, a bullet in the face usually is."
That's right.
It's dark. Katie from Dublin writes in and says, "His neighbors in Pakistan said he mostly kept to himself. The loner." You're on the Bin Laden joke line.
Yeah, I got one. I have to admit, I got this from a Republican on TV.
Good.
But it's not bad. It's instead of 72 virgins, he ran into 72 Virginians.
I like that. That's good.
Okay. I like that.
There you go. That's Harold.
All right, Harold. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, that was a good one. I like the dark, violent ones, you know, but that's just me. It's hard to make a penis joke with a Bin Laden thing, huh?
Yeah.
Couldn't come up with anything.
You know, I was thinking, the guy was holed up for 6 years, right? With no telephone and internet, right? Don't you go stir crazy? And what did his day look like?
I guess he watched a lot of television.
I guess so. I mean, read the Quran a lot, I guess.
So, yeah, we're going to have to continue the war in Afghanistan so that Bin Laden will not have died in vain.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's important.
Call in with your favorite Bin Laden joke. You can steal jokes. It doesn't matter. We're not professionals here. How did we find Bin Laden? Simple. He had an iPhone. Techie joke.
You ready?
Yeah. Line one, you're on there. That's this one.
Oops.
Line one, you're on the Bin Laden joke line.
Hey, the biggest joke is on him, or us, actually, because he had a satellite dish in his compound, and he had, like, five wives. Who the hell needs anything else?
Yeah, yeah. Five wives. Those wives beat virgins.
Why do you need imagination if you got something real right there?
Right, right. That's it. Yeah, wives are way better than virgins, I'm telling
you.
That
explains the being so cloistered. You don't have one wife to nag every day. You got a choice.
Like, what was it? Hardcore Fenton Mudd. Remember that?
Yeah, send out for pizza and you're set.
Yeah, Star Trek. All right, we're going to the next line, too. You're on the Bin Laden joke line.
Okay, I got a joke for you.
Got it.
All the 7-Elevens are closed due to a death in the family.
That's not too bad. Oh, man. Some teacher said something to a student in her class. It was like, Islamic student in her class, she said, well, I guess all your people are mourning today.
Nice.
Idiot teacher.
I heard I think it was John Stewart, who made it, leave it to him to make a great point, which is, if you're a Muslim, you got to hate Bin Laden. Because
he kills more Muslims than
But in this country, is completely warped people's opinions of Islam and regular Muslims. The vast majority, and that would be billions, are nothing like Bin Laden.
Yeah. And he bombed his folks in Sudan, right?
Yeah.
All right. You're on the KPFT Bin Laden joke line. You're on the air.
You know what the last thing that went through Bin Laden's mind was?
What?
A bullet.
Big old bullet.
Oh, yeah. Bullet. Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Got another one.
Okay, go.
You know what the last thing he said was?
Ouch.
Dang, should have turned off that cell phone GPS.
Okay, yeah, listen. I thought it was make sure you get the deposit back on the dialysis machine.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. All right, take care.
I don't know who I stole that from. Let's see. Barry Crewman said...
his last words? Hey, who left the door open?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Honey, I gotta go to the bathroom. Oh, crap!
Hey, did you see he had a water bed?
It was that a water bed?
Had a water bed. I couldn't believe it. I could see that the heater was plugged in. I mean, boy, I was looking for a lava lamp, you know? I can't believe that.
You see the pictures of the dead dudes on the internet?
You mean
couriers?
The fake ones?
No. These were the ones. Well, maybe they were fake, but these guys were dead. These were guys that were in the compound other than Bin Laden who got killed.
Oh, okay.
And I can tell you, man, those guys got effed up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, they don't use, like, pistols.
No.
Yeah.
No, there's no 22s that they're using.
Right. Call into the Bin Laden joke line. We're going to go for another 5 minutes, man, so hurry up. Let me see. Barry Crewman said, hey, man, I got caught without an American flag to wave tonight. In my defense, it was a long, cold winter. You get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Stars on the stoves and stripes in the oven. That's a flag-burning joke.
Yeah.
Barry said, some cave, like most contemporary villains, Bin Laden resided in a gated community.
And by the way, I mean, that was a mansion by Pakistani standards?
I guess, yeah. Looked bad.
Looked like
he had a cinder block furnace. I swear to God, it looked like a college dorm room.
I mean, I'm telling you, it looked like a dump.
Yeah. Well.
And I love how he lived there the whole time and Pakistan didn't know. Wink, wink. Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, brace yourself. Brace yourself. Here. This is the funniest.
Is this the Jesus?
This is the funniest. This is the funniest Bin Laden joke. David Feldman. The worst thing about Osama being buried at sea is that now only Jesus can dance on his grave.
That's right.
I like that.
That's a good one.
I wonder if he's got to do that. Do a little jig, you know?
He probably already has.
Oh, probably right, yeah. You just can't see him. It's almost like he's not real.
It's almost like...
Okay, here's a complicated one. Here's a good political joke. I like this. Illinois Senator Mark Kirk called Bin Laden the greatest mass murderer in history. Yeah, and Mark Kirk is the finest politician ever to come to Washington from Illinois.
That's right.
That's not bad. I actually ate that one. I'm sorry. Oh, yes, like Hendrix and Elvis, new Bin Laden recordings will keep on coming.
That is true. That was a good one. He's the Tupac Shakur of the Islamic world.
Yeah, right.
You think he's dead, but he's whipping out videos.
Popping up. Call in with your Bin Laden joke. We're going to have the lines open for
three more
minutes.
What's coming
in after? I got part two of my Paul Creston interview.
Oh, okay.
And then some Lenny Bruce if we really dive here. But oh, here's one. You are on the Bin Laden joke line.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Actually, I heard he was buried on the mafia tradition, not the Muslim tradition. No, he's sleeping with the fishes.
Fishes. Yeah, there you go.
With the radioactive Japanese fishes.
With Sonny Corleone and all the rest of them.
Exactly. He's with... there's no pictures because you don't want to see the cement barrel.
He's with Fredo in Lake Tahoe.
I'm guessing that the part that would identify him to most of us, which is his face, didn't make it intact. So
he did get shot in the top of the eye.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, and that's what they're saying. There's brain matter. I mean, his left side of his head.
It's just gone.
It's gone.
Yeah, right. I've seen. Yeah.
Maybe you like Michael Jackson. Maybe he has a marking on his penis. Maybe he has a tattoo saying "Mama didn't love me."
What else we got here? Hey, I'm out of stuff from our Bin Laden mailbag here.
Well, you know, you had a good one on Facebook, which is, you know, now we got to produce the death certificate.
Right. That was like one of them simultaneous jokes that everybody got. But I got it on before Obama spoke, so I might have been the first.
You might have been the first.
On the net.
Because Obama did produce his birth certificate, now he's got to produce Osama's death
certificate. Anybody that thinks even slightly comically is going to come up with that.
I mean, nah. Yeah. Well, there's a couple of denials I got before he got, because some of them were pretty obvious.
Yeah. All right, coming up right now is my part two of my interview with Paul Krasner. We're going to be talking about drugs and a woman's right to choose. So keep it locked.
Drug legalization. You've been involved in High Times magazine writing. We have medical marijuana in California. You have a prescription?
Do I have it? Yeah.
How's your leg?
Oh, I need a cane to walk with now. Cut from an old police beating, and as a result my gait got worse and worse and worse, and I started tripping over my own feet. So when I started walking with a cane, I started tripping over the cane. But I should have sued and gotten physical therapy, but you know, you make mistakes, and those are the mistakes among them. But the bizarre thing is, if I fly anywhere, I have to put the cane on the conveyor belt with my shoes and my luggage, but then they give you another cane to walk through the metal detector. So there's a level of absurdity to it.
So drug legalization. Do you have any thoughts on that, or where it's been, where we're going?
Yeah, it's in real a state of crux now. I feel that as long as any country can arbitrarily decide which drugs are legal and which drugs are illegal, then anyone in prison, a nonviolent drug offense, is really a political prisoner. You know, even if in California Prop 19 had passed, that it was not retroactive. You know, I want amnesty for anybody who's behind bars. It makes no sense to say, okay, it's not a crime any longer. Then what are they still doing in prison?
Right. There may be an economic amnesty for everybody pretty soon. You know, they can't afford the prisons.
Oh, you mean like if the prisons get so crowded that
and the government gets so broke, you know?
It might do. You know, I mean that would be doing the right thing for the wrong reason.
Yeah, of course.
But that's better than not having some justice at all.
Better than doing time.
Yeah, the Partnership for a Drug-Free America was originally founded and funded by
Budweiser,
the liquor industry, the tobacco industry, and the pharmaceutical industry. So you can see, you know, we don't want no stinking competition.
Right.
Why should somebody buy Prozac only to learn that suicide is one of the possible side effects? Worse than that is Ambien, which has possible suicidal tendencies. But you can wake up in the middle of the night and drive to the 7-Eleven, get a Hershey bar, smear it over your face, because you don't know, you're still sleeping, and then commit suicide, and never knew that you did it. I mean, you know, it's beyond satire. So it's a matter of greed by those industries, pharmaceutical, tobacco, and alcohol, all of which are dangerous. Whereas, you know, result in death, result in violence. You know, in the Dodgers-Giants game where a fan is in a coma because he was beaten in the parking lot by Giants fans, and he was a Dodger fan.
Yeah, and they thought there was a soccer game.
Now you can be sure it wasn't a bunch of potheads doing
that. That's right.
So even the worst that can happen is with marijuana is maybe you'll get the urge to have a midnight raid on your refrigerator.
Well, something that you've been involved with throughout your whole life is women's choice.
Oh, that was my other big cause, yeah.
Yeah, what's your historical perspective, past and present, on that right now? Because it's you know, it's front and center again.
It is strange because, you know, in the 1960s, when it was illegal, and somebody who had a botched abortion, you know, from some back alley butcher, and then went to the hospital, the hospital was required to call the police. And the police, I had stories from women who said, the cop told the doctor they couldn't give me a painkiller until I told them who I got the abortion from.
Right.
So I had, it turned out he was a subscriber to The Realist, but there was a legendary doctor, he's dead, so now if I can mention his name, Dr. Robert Spencer in Ashland, Pennsylvania. It was a little coal town. He was known as the saint because women came to him from all over the country, from other countries. Again, word of mouth. And he had a clinic there, and he charged as little as $5 when others were charging as much as $600. And the town, it was a Catholic town, but they not only tolerated him, they depended on him because he brought so much business to the town. You know, women would go to a clothing store or to a restaurant or stay at a motel. So it built up business in the town. And the motels, there was so much racism then too, and the hotels would not permit blacks to stay at the hotel. So Dr. Spencer built an extra room at his clinic for African Americans who could not get a room at the motel. And so when I published my interview with him, I took a 5-hour bus trip from New York to Ashland, Pennsylvania, carrying, then it was 1961, I think it was, carrying a huge Webcor tape recorder. It must have weighed about 100 pounds.
Right.
And, you know, and it's been fun watching them get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller as the decades went by. After I published the interview, I began to get calls from scared female voices, from teenagers to middle-aged women who were pregnant and didn't want to be.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, including a nurse in the hospital who knew doctors, couldn't find one who would perform surgery. So when I got these calls, I asked Dr. Spencer if I could refer them to him, and he said yes, which I did. And I would get several calls a day. And so when the next issue came, and I would do an interview with somebody else, I still continued. You know, I couldn't say no. I'm sorry, that was last month. So I found myself to be in the position of running an underground abortion referral service. And I got, and it was a turning point in my life because I had gone from being a satirist to an activist, and doing both of that, those, and got called before district attorneys in two cities. One was in Liberty, New York, where the local sheriff came to New York, picked me up 6 o'clock in the morning and drove me there. And I sat in the front seat, and we were talking about stuff on the way. It was very surrealistic. And the district attorney in Liberty, New York, he says to me, well, you know, the doctor confessed to us, and so we'll give you immunity to testify before the grand jury. And I said, let me go call my lawyer. So I walked not out of that building and found just a telephone booth. Which another thing will be, what was a telephone booth, Mommy? You know, what is Superman going to do now? Change from Clark Kent inside an iPhone?
Or Doctor Who?
Another an app just for that. Just for becoming a superhero. 99 cents. So I went out, and I didn't have a lawyer at the time, but I called the doctor who, this was another doctor, and I told him what they said. He said, they're just bluffing, you know. They never interviewed me about anything.
Right.
I said, okay, thank you. So I went back, and the DA said to me, so what'd your lawyer say? I said, he said I should just continue refusing to cooperate.
Was that your first run-in with the law?
I maybe it was. Mm-hmm. There might have been stuff before that, but I think that was.
That is a real standard approach to, oh, yeah, your friend told us everything, so.
Oh, well, yeah.
You learned that one first, huh?
and what he said, you know, the cops are coming here at 2 o'clock, and you'll be arrested. So 2 o'clock came, the cops didn't come, and he said, okay, you can leave now. You know, that was it. It didn't work. They were, and then the other thing came in, I think, must have been about 1970, when I got called before the district attorney in New York. And he said, you know, he didn't say we interviewed any doctors. He said, we have their files, and it shows how much money they gave you. And so I knew he was bluffing because I never took any money. These were after Dr. Spencer had retired. So these were other ones who were not as compassionate as he, but were at least it was a safe abortion. It was not taking place in some sleazy apartment.
Let's hope we're not heading back there.
Well, that's the thing. I'll tell you, Scooter, it's bizarre because at that point, I never thought in my lifetime that it would become legal. And in fact, in the New York case, when he said, again, I'll give you immunity if you just testify, I said, I will do it. And he that's when he said, well, we have these financial records. You know, we testified. He stuck out his hand to shake my hand, like figuring, oh, he's going to testify now. I refused to shake hands with him. I said, you're lying. I said, I never took a penny. And so my lawyer, who volunteered, sued the city of New York, saying that he had no right to force me to testify about a law that was unconstitutional. And so that lawsuit, which was joined by women's groups, resulted in abortion becoming decriminalized, becoming illegal, that is, in New York State, right. Yeah, but right. It led, according to my attorney, he said this is what led to Roe versus Wade. So what I thought wouldn't happen in my lifetime did happen, that abortions became legal. And now I never thought in my lifetime that it might become illegal again. And so it's really scary because people have no idea, and the propaganda and the religious fanaticism they're doing it step by step by step, you know, with this, with lying about Planned Parenthood. And so they're trying to do it gradually, because I don't think the Supreme Court would necessarily reverse the Roe versus Wade decision. But the different states are doing this step by step, you know, and they have in relation both abortion rights and drug rights have to do with individual freedom.
Versus Puritanism.
Oh, yeah, you know, this country was founded on by pioneers and Puritans. Pioneers wanted to be free of religion, and the Puritans wanted to spread the religion that they couldn't practice in England.
They take you now to the headquarters of Religions Incorporated. And seated around the desk on Madison Avenue sit the religious leaders of our country. Religion, big business. We hear H.A. addressing the tight little group on Madison Avenue. Ladies and gentlemen, nice to see so many boys here tonight. I see religious leaders I haven't seen in many years. I just was talking to Billy this afternoon. I said, Billy, you've come a long way, sweetie. Long way. Who would have thought back in 31 we were hustling baby pictures in? And shingles and siding were swinging. Yeah, we didn't know what the hell to do. We're going to... Maybe the CC camps are starting to move. And I didn't know myself, you know. And just like that, we came on. You know, the Gideon, bop, and there we were. The graph here tells a story. That's about it. For the first time in 12 years, Catholicism is up 9 points. Judaism is up 15. The big P, the Pentecostal, is starting to move finally. And now, gentlemen, we've got Mr. Necktie by my religious novelty house in Chicago, who's got a beautiful cellar. The genuine Jewish star, Lucky Cross, and cigarette lighter combined. Then we got the Kiss Me in the Dark, Mazizu. And the Walk Me, Talk Me, Wet Me Camel. And his wonderful little cocktail napkins with some hell of a things there. Another martini for Mother Gabrini. And some pretty far out things, may I say. Now, we like to, as you know, there's a lot of religious leaders that we've seen here, boys we don't know. This is the first time we've really united like this. There's about 6,000 boys out here from all over the country. And little favors, you know, the mission of promise would be no individual hustling, you know. I mean, let's make the scene together, because, like, if we burn ourselves, where are we going to end up, you dig? Okay. Now, I want to introduce... Oh, we got Mr. Acton here, a great man, our Seventh-day Adventist, who on a leading tour of the leper colonies took some beautiful color slides. Here is the greatest holy roller in America today. A great man and a great holy roller, our...
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, boy. Here, have a snake.
Lenny Bruce. Religions Incorporated. I promise to play that whole bit in the near future. We started off with the Bin Laden joke line, recorded live on Pacifica Radio Houston with myself, Glenn Urbach, and KPFT callers. Special thanks to the great Barry Crimmins and David Feldman for some of the Bin Laden mailbag jokes, followed by part two of a conversation with the legendary Paul Krasner. All Innerside Radio programs are available on the internet for download, sampling, or rebroadcast. Simply Google The Innerside. My name is Scooter, and I'll see y'all next week.